Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
1, 2, 3, 4. Those are numbers, but you already knew that. If you want to know what number you're going to pay each month for your car, use Kelley Blue Book My Wallet on Auto Trader. They're really good at numbers. Auto Trader.
Hey everyone, and welcome to this episode of the Happy Hour Podcast. I'm your host, Gretchen Garrity, and I am feeling like almost a little bit nervous to record right now. I don't know why. No, I do know why. It's been a month. First of all, wow. Hi, hello. It's been a month since I've chatted with you guys. Since, if you guys didn't know, I post new episodes every other Friday. And since I took the last episode off, since it's just been like crazy whirlwind mayhem in the house, getting all settled and organized. It's been, 4 weeks since my last episode, which is crazy. So much has been going on since, if you're behind, if you're new, I just bought a house. I still can barely believe it. Side note, if you just heard that, my golden retriever Brody is like curled up an inch away from me. Like, I'm petting him right now, if you can hear that. That's him. So if you hear him, you know, sighing, he just had a sigh, bark or anything. Yeah, that's him. And I guess I don't even need to do a disclaimer about noise. You guys are always so good about that. I'm always like, oh my gosh. Like, I always try to situate myself where I have like full quiet, and that normally is never the case. And I remember when I first started my podcast, I would be like, okay, Max, can you go take Brody like on errands and then a walk, so you're gone for like 2 hours so I can just focus on this, and like I don't want to hear a pin drop. He would be like, okay. But I remember you guys being like, no, we kind of like when we can hear Brody's paws like pitter patter, or like Max in the other room, like they, like you guys know what's up. So yeah, but that is to say, there's been lots of noise. So I try to situate myself in the most quiet bedroom on the second floor, away from the noise downstairs. Outside, there's always like lots of noise. So yes, if you hear noise, that's what it is. Noise. And hopefully it's not too bad. Like, there's always construction going on, stuff like that. So I feel like I found a lull in that. I'm like, I'm going to start recording my podcast late at night when people aren't doing construction, because there's like so much. But yeah, it's been almost exactly a month since closing on our house, and it almost still doesn't feel real. Maybe it will feel real later. My mom's about to visit, and maybe with like her here, it'll be like, okay, wow, this is my house, like my mom's visiting, like I can't believe it. But yeah, it just kind of feels like we're at like an Airbnb for the summer, like a rental, or I don't know, but like all my stuff is here. I don't know, it's just weird. And since we were in Allentown, Pennsylvania for the past 3 years, they keep saying to Max, like, I still feel like we have that place, and I feel like we'll be back there in the fall, but we won't. And so it's gonna be so weird. Like, I still feel like that's kind of home base, and it'll probably take a minute for my brain mentally to be like I get that this is my house and it feels like home, but like another home, maybe not like my primary home yet, which this actually is supposed to be. Ideally, the idea is just like a summer home one day, but it's funny because that's like the first home we've purchased, because with Max and hockey and that whole situation, if you guys know. What's funny is we actually could end up back in Allentown in the fall, but we both kind of feel like that won't be the case. But anyway, so it's been like funny mentally being like, what's happening? And it does feel a lot more homey and cozy having Max's family not too far away, and we see them a lot. And so I feel like settled and like homey in that way. It was funny, yesterday we were with Max's mom and we're dropping her off at their like family childhood home, and I was like, Max, literally driving around here, like where she lives, I'm like, it feels like nostalgic to me, like it feels like I grew up here, which is so funny. But I think it's because I lived there kind of accidentally for a couple months during COVID, and we all just got like so close, obviously spent every second together, everything was shut down. And so yeah, it just feels like really homey to me over there. So I feel like settled and safe and cozy, I feel like, because of that. So that's really nice having his family close by. And I cannot believe my mom has never been to the Cape, you guys. Like, as I'm recording this, once it goes up, she'll probably be here. But, like, as I'm recording this, she's never been to Cape Cod, which is so crazy. In all the years I've dated Max, we've always been like, oh, she needs to come this summer, maybe she'll come. But she hasn't. But now, obviously, that I'm out, she's like, okay, I'm coming. And it's going to feel even more like home. Like I said, when she comes, it'll be so exciting. So, yes, if you guys are not caught up on all the details, you should listen to my last podcast episode with Max. We talk all about closing. I'm clicking my notes right now. Yeah, closing, like hockey updates for the fall and stuff, which, side note, we actually don't know where we're going to be in the fall still. So this was just perfect timing. It all worked out that we have this house for the summer, because I feel like we at least have like a home base, something permanent, since Max still doesn't know where his contract's going to be in the fall. And then I also had another episode before that just talking about like buying my first home. It's called We Bought Our First Home, Spilling All the Tea, in case you never listened to that and want to catch up. No, my sidekick just went away from me. He's laying across the room. Okay. I miss you, Brody. Love you. He had a loud sigh again. Have you guys heard? Dogs are so funny. Like, why do they do that? I always see the meme, I think, or video that's like, no, it's definitely a meme. And it's a picture of a dog. No, wait. No, it's a TikTok. Oh my gosh. I never know where I get information from. I'm like, was it like a picture on Instagram story, TikTok? I think it was a TikTok. And a dog sighed. And the owner's like, what ails you, my unemployed freeloader? Which is so true. Or was that a meme? I don't freaking know. You guys know what I'm talking about. Maybe you've seen it. And now we always said that when he sighs, we're like, what ails you, my unemployed freeloader? Like, what could be stressful in your life, Brody? Anyway, clearly I'm feeling chatty. Good thing we're podcasting. So, yes, to catch you up to speed, if you're all caught up, up until the last month, within the last month, we've been obviously moving in, just really getting settled, organized, lots and lots of rearranging, okay? Don't even ask Max about the rugs. He'll probably have a meltdown. You guys, poor Max, my boyfriend Max, has been helping me in my antics of rearranging and moving everything around. Like every day when I have a new idea, I'm like, you know what, we move this rug here, I don't like it, we're moving it back. And yeah, the rugs have been what I've been like the worst about, because we have so many and I've just accumulated so many, and I just want the perfect ones in the perfect space, and I want it to make sense. I tried layering it. I actually, just before I started recording this, had Max help me unlayer because I didn't like how those ones looked together. And I just have to shout out you guys, like bringing you guys along the journey in my YouTube videos. You probably do feel caught up in that way because I've been really active over on YouTube, and I feel like Instagram and podcasts are lacking, and I feel bad, but I'm just like, my brain is just like, you know, in a swirl. I'm like a chicken with my head cut off every day, trying to get settled, get organized, find like my new normal. And so it's been like hard to balance everything. And I want to just be so active on social media because it's like such a fun, exciting time. But also so much of my brain power and energy is filled like buying furniture, picking out countertops, painting, rearranging, like all of that, you know? So it's just like a lot is happening. But yeah, we are curating our space slowly but surely. You guys could tell by the episode, this is me decorating your space, interior design, just curating a cozy home. I want to talk all about that since it's really prevalent in my life right now, just settling into my first home, which is like so crazy. And this is actually a perfect time, before I forget, to say something I'm happy about, a happy quote or idea. You guys know I always do that in my episodes, so I'm sure you can tell. It's like a double-edged sword. I'm happy and unhappy about settling in and getting everything how I want. No, I'm very happy. I'm going to look back and be like, why was I stressed? You know, like, it's so funny because I was this way in Pennsylvania too, where I want everything to just be settled. And then I was, and I was like, wow, I love it here. I feel so cozy and great. But I'm like, why was I so stressed along the process? Like, it's supposed to be fun. Max is always like, it's fun. We're having fun. This is loads of fun. I'm like, you're right. We're having so much fun. It's great. But yeah. It's one of those things that's like stressful in the moment because you just want everything to be in its place. But like, I need to just stop putting pressure on myself for time or it being perfect, because it's going to be great. And that also leads into my happy quote or idea. Maybe it's kind of like unhappy, a little serious. No, but I really take this in like a positive, joyful kind of way. And again, inspired by you guys in my YouTube comments, you really just kept my head screwed on straight and are giving me really good advice during this time. You guys have been my therapist. No, but I've just gotten like overwhelmingly, everyone's like, you're too hard on yourself. You don't need to give yourself a timeline to be completely settled. You don't need to rush into all these things. Or like typically, which I was really happy to hear, one comment was like, typically when you buy a home, it takes you years to get like furnished just how you want it, because I mean, probably the sheer amount of money furniture costs, like, holy, no one tells you that growing up. Like, it's just so expensive. And so I guess purely for like affordability reasons, people just take a while to slowly get things how they want it. And people were just like, you know, it's your first home that you bought. Don't like stress all the little things. Like, you need to live in the moment. You only get this moment once of like the first moments of buying your first home, settling in. Like, you need to soak it up and be present and not like waste your time worrying, stressing, all of that. And I was like, you know what? I needed that reminder. Like, this is such a special time. And at times it can be like a lot or tiring or exhausting, whatever, stressful furniture, getting everything in, like certain pieces not fitting where we want them. But like, it's not that deep and it's all gonna be okay and it's all gonna work out. And yeah, it's just, I like needed that reminder. So yeah. I just think that, like, honestly applies to, like, everything in life, though. Like, you only live today once. Like, you're never going to live today again, if you think about that. I think I saw that on Instagram. It was, like, if you had a rough day today, like, someone had that advice from someone, like, oh, well, you never have to live today again. Like, tomorrow's a new day. Like, today is just what it was. And that's nice moving forward if you had a bad day, but also makes me sad. I'm like, wow, I need to like really cherish every day, because like, you never get to live today again. I don't know, I'm so like sentimental like that, I guess. But yeah, what was I saying? We've just been settling. I've said 100. We're just getting settled, organized, you know. I feel like, oh, what did we always say with Chase? We're like, okay, we're just gonna, yeah, like, get settled. We're like, okay, we're gonna get settled. Or if we like, you know, hang out in the morning or like gonna meet up for dinner or something, we're like, okay, we're just gonna get settled right now. We're gonna like take a rest, get organized, get settled. So that's what we're doing. Okay, I need to make an episode, you guys, or maybe like a YouTube video, something. Maybe it would make sense as a podcast episode, because we could just chat about everything for a while. Like, everything I wish I knew about buying a house, because I think there's a lot I did know, but a lot I didn't know. Who knew? Like, after moving in, there was, like, very quickly, there were things that I was like, whoa, never thought about that. Or, whoa, didn't notice this before we closed and moved in and stuff. Little things like trash removal. Who knew you had to hire a private company and, like, pay for that? Maybe some of you, if that's how it is where you grew up. But I think where we grew up and where my mom lives currently, it's just, like, town, city trash, like the town just does it, and I think it's just like free and they, you know. But I guess it depends on like the city or the town. Ours, no, we have to like hire like a private one. I'm like, oh my gosh. So the first couple days we're like, whoa, like, of course, moving, like, we have so much trash, so much cardboard. We're like, whoa, we need someone like right now. So we had to like quick figure something out. And some places were like, oh no, we're not taking on any new customers. And we're like, wait, we need to figure out something here. And then we're like, okay, do we like drive to the dump? And I'm like, I have never been to the dump. Like, what even is that? So we, you know, just little, it's like growing pains, just like getting settled, figuring it all out. Interrupting super quick to tell you guys about AG1. I've been taking AG1 for years now, and it's just the best daily nutrition supplement that supports whole body health. It really helps my gut health and digestion, increased energy, immune system, and so much more. I also just really like the routine of taking it first thing when I wake up every morning, starting my day out right. It's just one scoop of powder mixed with water, and every scoop is packed with 75 vitamins, minerals, and whole food source ingredients, and it tastes kind of tropical, like pineapple. I remember the first thing I noticed when I started taking AG1 years ago was that it very quickly improved my digestion and would give me an energy boost throughout the day. My favorite way to take it is to just mix it with cold water, but if I ever forget first thing, I'll also add it to a smoothie from time to time as well. It's hard for me to keep up with a supplement routine that comes with a bunch of different products, which is why AG1 is so nice, since it's such an easy habit to incorporate into your life. If you want to take ownership of your health, try AG1 and get a free 1-year supply of vitamin D and 5 free AG1 travel packs with your first purchase. Go to drinkag1.com/happyhour. That's drinkag1.com/happyhour. Check it out. Also, little things we notice after moving in, I'm like, oh, what? We don't have a garbage disposal? Like, what do you mean? Like, every place, it's funny because actually my parents' house is like the house I grew up in, never had it. But in college, all the apartments I've been in after college have had a garbage disposal. I know this is such a small thing, but I'm so used to it now. And I'm like, wait, what? And so now we're like, oh my gosh, this is kind of like a hassle. We're just so used to it. We're like, dang, we want to get a garbage disposal. So we're like, okay, add that to the list, something we want to get or change. But like, I didn't even notice that before buying the house. So maybe something I wish I knew is to like just pay more attention to little things, like the littlest things, like is there garbage disposal? Does this light switch work? Is this doorknob loose? Like, is this, I mean, not even that you would ask the seller to like fix it, but just to like be aware, right? Yeah, trying to figure out like, oh, we have to like program the garage door opener, like little things you don't think about, like, oh, our doorbell was broken. That was something also we didn't even think to like check that out before. So I kind of wish I like paid more attention in those areas, but also like it's not that deep, they can just get fixed. So yeah, just really like learning our house and all about it as we've been like living in it, you know. And oh, there's even more things, you guys, things I wish I knew about buying a house. If you've bought a house and you know, like I had no idea too, I think in my mind you would like talk with your realtor the most about everything, and especially if you're like looking for a home, yeah, but once you put in an offer to accept it, I feel like you barely talk to your realtor. The person who you're talking to every day, like the person who I feel like we talked to way more than the realtor, was a lender. And maybe that's because of my work situation being so funny on like social media, and there was like just a lot to discuss with a mortgage lender and all the options we had, whatever, some hurdles, stuff like that. But yeah, I had no idea that would be like kind of your point of contact like every day. Like, we just had so much to iron out. And it also made me think, I remember at one point being like, wow, if someone ever bought a house in cash, it would be 1,000 times easier than working with a lender for like a mortgage, because that seems like kind of the hardest part before closing. And they're in like, realtor was like, yeah, if I've ever had someone buy in cash, it's like literally 1,000 times easier. You don't have to like coordinate everything with a lender, mortgage, blah 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 blah. You have to have like a million forms of documentation, like I won't bore you with it, yada yada yada, you know. Also, I had no idea, like, so many different payments leading up to closing. I'm going to even get the names wrong. Like, good faith deposit, earnest money, like, things like that. I'm like, wait, what? Like, what's going on? You pay for your inspection. Like, there's just so many little things. Also, didn't know, like, closing costs were a thing. Closing fees, I guess. Just, like, so many little things. Also, didn't know, I guess back in the day, closing used to be, like, seller, seller attorney, buyer, buyer attorney, listing agent, realtor, lender, like everyone was there like sitting around a table. But I think since COVID, it's literally just the buyer and their attorney. And so like, didn't know that, shut up, and it was just me, Max, attorney. I'm like, oh, what, like where is everybody? And everything is just happens like online. So many things. Oh, don't even get me started about like maintenance on the house. They're probably like, she's in over her head. But little things like that. Oh my God, I was at the inspection. He's here for like 3 hours, you guys, and he's like, okay, you need to do this once a year, this 6 months, every 6 months you got to get this filter, this checked, this sealed, this. I'm like, ah, there's so much maintenance like a house requires. That's what I was probably most like, seemed most daunting about buying a house. I'm like, oh yeah, buy property, it's like a great investment, whatever, we'll love it. But the thought of like all the maintenance house requires, things like that, because obviously when I take care of it, yeah, that worries me. Luckily Max is good with that kind of stuff, so he's been on it. I feel like I just want a checklist of like, okay, I need to do this every 6 months, this once a year, this every 5 years, this check this every, because I don't want to get behind on things. It's like, whew, I just send myself into a tizzy just thinking about it all. So also thought I would mention that also in the past month, like the biggest changes we've already made and currently are in the process of making. So something we did that I would highly recommend any of you do, I would do again in the future, and I'm really happy that I did this. It was kind of hard to coordinate, but it was worth the headache a little bit. We painted our entire interior of our house before we moved in, which I'm so happy we did this for a number of reasons. One, there was some neutral paint that I liked. It was kind of like a beige tan, which was totally fine with. There was also some like bright blue that I was like, yeah, no, that's like not really what I'm going for. So I knew I wanted painted for that reason. But also just going forward, I feel like if I bought a house, I would always do like fresh coat of paint on the walls before you come in, because it just feels fresh and new and like yours and like a clean slate. And it was like, you know, that paint was probably 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years old. And so it wasn't in bad condition by any means, but like a fresh coat of paint just does wonders and looks so nice. So yes, it was hard to coordinate. Like, we had to actually move our closing up a little bit so that there was enough days between closing, getting the keys, and then our moving truck coming and moving everything in, because I really wanted the painters to be able to get in here without all of our furniture in here. I'm like, it'll be 1,000 times easier for them to paint everything. Won't have to move furniture out of the way, cover it, tarps, whatever, them, you know what I mean? I'm like, this is just gonna be so much easier. Like, let's just try to do that. Also, can we even stay in here when there's like paint fumes, you know? I'm like, this will be so easy if we can get this out of the way before. So luckily it all worked out. And in case you're wondering, painted the entire inside of my house. I looked at paint colors. My eyes started to go cross-eyed. I'm looking at them for days on end. I went with the Simply White by Benjamin Moore. It's just a really warm, creamy kind of white. And I thought it would be, like, inviting and cozy, but still really bright. And just, like, a clean slate. And if I want to add wallpaper, if I want to add, what is that thing? Oh, this is going to kill me. What is it called? When you have, like, shiplap, but it's not ship, it's kind of like shiplap up towards the halfway on the wall, like towards the bottom, like a lot of like coastal like bathrooms have it, and like bedrooms and stuff. I always think of it about, not wainscoting, is it wainscoting? Maybe, I don't know what I'm talking about, but you know what I mean, like if I wanted to add stuff on top of it, it would like pair well with a lot of things, decor, all different colors, because it's just like a nice warm white, good with like a lot of natural light that we have going on. So yes, that was a big change. And also, who knew, another thing wish someone would have told me, how expensive painters are. Holy moly. I was like, what? But it was worth every penny, I think, in my opinion. And I had a lot of different opinions from you guys, but I'm so happy I just went with, like, you know what? Let the pros do it right the first time, crank it out, get it done way quicker than I'd be able to. Like, it's actually crazy how much ground they covered in, like, took them maybe 3 days, and that's it. And I'm like, it would have taken me 3 days to do one bedroom, and it probably wouldn't have looked as good. Like, they are just professionals. I was so impressed and so shocked at like the quality of work, how quick they were done. So obviously they probably painted like a million houses, and I just think it was so nice to do it right the first time, because I had a lot of you recommend like, oh my gosh, that's something you and Max could totally do by yourself, which also I would say, yeah, we could probably paint a bedroom, a hallway, a bathroom, but not the entire house. That would have taken us a year. Like, you know what I mean? And also, like, the way our house is, there's a lot of, like, nooks and crannies and hard kind of angles and stuff like that. We would have been, like, and especially if I'm, like, Max, if we're, like, breaking our backs and necks and we buy all this paint and then it doesn't end up looking good, I'm going to be, like, devastated. So I'm, like, let's just do it right the first time. And I'm really happy we did it that way. One thing that we didn't do that I kind of wish we did, it almost feels too late now, at least for now, I kind of wish... At first, I was like, let's rip up all the floors, new floors. And then I'm like, Gretchen, relax. You have beautiful hardwood floors. The only thing I wanted is like that thick kind of oak plank. You guys know what I'm talking about. The light bleached wood looking light wash, like thick oak planks. It looks so beachy. It looks really nice. What we currently have is a thinner, I want to say it's like a red oak plank. It's just like that really warm toned wood floors, and they're in great condition. They're really, really nice wood floors. So I'm like, okay, everyone's saying I'm a nutball for trying to rip them all out and put in new ones. Like, I don't need to do that. Like, let's live with them and let's see. But what I wish I did is just had them all sanded down maybe, and like I could have stained them a little bit lighter, finished them in a different, I don't know. I kind of wish I did something like that before all the furniture was in, because now it would be a nightmare. Like, I'd have to get movers and move it all out to, you know what I mean? So I kind of wish I did that. Who knows if we would have even had time to do that, like there was painters here, but I'm like, how expensive is it? Oh my God, the house stuff. I'm like, how much is this costing? Like, I never even know. It's just, whew, such a headache. So I kind of wish I did that. For right now, it's fine. I need to relax. It's fine. They look great. All right. Another thing we did is actually, also before I started recording, got a call from the upholstery shop. They're like, hey, your order's done. Come pick it up. I'm like, ah, I can't believe it's done. So exciting. So, it's funny because it's like, seems like a little thing, but to me, it's such a big thing. And it actually is a physically big thing. So we have like a massive window seat on our third floor overlooking the water. Oh, it's such a beautiful spot. And I love this window seat. Don't get me wrong. I love it. It's great. But I did not like the cushion that was there. Just not really my vibe. A lot of like loud, busy colors kind of going on. And I mean, not even a lot of colors. It was just like navy blue, medium blue, light blue, white stripes, but they were like uneven, like thin ones and thick ones. And it just looked like a lot. And I'm like, I'm going for a little bit more zen, neutral, cozy, which we'll get into that. So I was like, you know what? I'm just going to like reupholster this. And I was also like, how do I even go about this at first? I'm like, can we cover this? I'm not a seamstress. I'm not a sewer person. Like, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know. And I kept thinking about how, like, oh, we keep bringing them up in this whole process, not to, like, be sad for a second, but my dad is, like, such a handy guy and was so good at those things. Like, I feel like could have made a slip cover for it. Like, he would have just, like, known what to do. Also, Max's grandma, who he was so close with, was such a talented, she would make quilts, knitting, everything like that, sewing. Like, I feel like she would have been so good at it, too. And they actually both passed away within, like, a month of each other. Holy moly, I can't believe it's 4 years ago. What the heck? That just hit me. I can't believe it's over 4 years ago. Okay, I'm not getting sad. I'm not going to cry. But also, like, in these big life moments, like buying a house like this, I just keep thinking of them and wishing they were here, especially in moments where I'm like, oh, like, they would know what to do, or they would be able to, they could whip this up in no time, and, like, we are not like them. And but I do have, like, pieces of them with me here. We have Max's Nana's quilts all over, and I just, like, feel her cozy presence here. Why am I gonna cry? I need to not. But I literally feel them, like, looking over us and whatever. All I'm trying to say is I wish they were able to help us with this freaking window seat. I just kept thinking, like, oh, they would know what to do. So I'm, like, looking online. I'm like, can you buy, like, custom slip covers? Like, I don't know what's going on. And then, like, you know what? I guess I'm, like, looking around. I'm like, is there, like, upholstery shops near me? Like, I don't even know, like, how to go about this. All I know is I want this window seat cushion covered, or a different color, what have you. And it's, like, such a big seat. We were told that it was, like, a custom made cushion for it to begin with. So I'm like, I don't think we can just buy a new cushion. It's, like, this really long, like, specific looking one, you know? So I'm like, okay, let's bring it to, like, an upholster. I found a local one. I'm like, you know what? Let's, like, do, like, this local business. I don't need to, like, look for custom ones online. Who knows what they'll look like, or if they'll, how long it'll take, whatever. I'm like, it's probably gonna be expensive, I'm just assuming, but let's just, like, support this local business, right? That's another thing. No one tells you, okay? Who knew how expensive reupholstering things are? Which, I guess if I thought about it, like, there were so many, like, chairs, couches, stuff like that in there. That, to me, seems, like, really expensive. Like, if I brought a whole bed frame in there, a whole couch, and that's getting reupholstered, like, that should probably be the price of a new couch, right? Like, it's basically making it a new couch. But I'm like, oh, this is just, like, a cushion. Like, can you just make a slip cover? Like, it'll be easy peasy, not that expensive. Oh, it was expensive. But I'm like, you know what? It is worth it in my space to make it how I want it. And I don't know why I keep getting worried along this process that I'm going to have, like, backlash or hate from you guys being like, oh, like, ruining those beautiful floors, like, if I ever, like, sand them down and finish, like, I just get so nervous that people are gonna be like, you ruined the character and got rid of the blue paint or whatever, and everyone was on my side, they're like, the fresh paint looks so nice. I'm like, okay, phew. But I don't know why I get worried that people are gonna be mad at me making changes, if that makes sense, you know what I mean? And I got so nervous. I'm like, this cushion was, like, beautiful, but, like, it's just not really what I was going for. And you guys were so nice in my DMs. You guys were like, we would have changed it too, like, don't sweat it, don't worry about it. But I get worried, like, showing some of the changes I make, because I feel like I seem so picky in particular, but also it's, like, my space and, like, my house, and I can, like, do what I want. But I don't know why I get, like, nervous like that. Maybe because it's my first house, so, like, I feel weird making changes. Like, I wasn't able to make changes at apartments and stuff, obviously. So, yeah, it's just, like, it's just a learning curve, just a whole process. Okay, and then what we're currently getting done, we're in the process of getting built-in shelves in our closet, which are such a necessary thing that needs to happen. I can't wait till those are in, but we're, like, in the process of chatting with our guy that's going to do this. He's probably going to have to come, like, measure it all out perfect. Yeah. That's, like, a whole thing, but it's going to be so nice when they're in for just more storage. That was, like, the one thing I knew going to this house. I'm like, there's very little storage. We're just going to have to make it work. So that's what we've been doing. We've been making it work. It's going to be great. Also, in the process of picking out new countertops, which that's another thing I was worried about. I'm like, oh my God, are people going to, like, be mad at me? I'm like, changing the charm of this home as it was, but everyone's been nice so far. And I just have a certain vision of how I want it to be. And, like, you know what? It is my house, so I can do what I want. So there. Also, last couple things we need to get are a pair of nightstands for my second bedroom. I guess, like, one of our two guest rooms, if you will. Chairs for our third floor, because I wanted a pull-out couch to fit there. I can't make it up the stairs. It won't fit. That was a big fail. So I need to do that. Like, last couple furniture pieces I just need to decide on. And, yeah. The countertops really have been, like, the biggest thing that's been taking a lot of my thought process so far. I'm also realizing that it's way more of a, it's like a whole thing, more than I thought. I'm like, how hard can it be? You just, they measure, you buy new ones, they, right, like the countertop place cuts them, they install them, how bad is it? But it's like, no. Because since they have to take out the old ones, you have to have a plumber come in, disconnect the sink, turn off the water, usually kind of messes up the current sink, so then you got to buy a new sink. That was something I didn't know. I'm like, oh, like the countertop place, the girl was like, oh, are you keeping your current sink? You're getting a new one? And I'm like, yeah, we'll just keep it. And she's like, well, I don't know if I'd recommend, because the current countertop's taking off. There's so much like glue, I guess, like adhesive. She's like, that's going to be on top of the sink that they're going to have to like scrape off. Like you're usually better off just getting a new sink. And I'm like, oh, what? Didn't know that. So then you're better off getting a new faucet. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is like a whole thing. And they're like, it is kind of challenging to like remove the old countertops, especially we have granite. I think those are the heaviest, most expensive, like most difficult for them to remove. I'm like, oh man, I thought this was going to be like easy peasy. Doesn't seem like it. So yes, hopefully that gets done sooner than later, because I've known, even when we were like looking at the house in the process leading up to closing, I just knew that was one of the first changes I want to make. I'm like, I want to change the countertops. It literally changes everything in the kitchen. The whole vibe, you spend most of your time there. That's like the heart of the home, right? I'm like, it's just something I want to do. And I knew I was going to do that. And everyone's like, are you sure? Do you want to live with them for the summer? And I'm like, oh no, I'm sure. I've been sure since day one. Like, let's freaking do it. And they are beautiful as is. Don't get me wrong. They're like a dark granite. They're kind of like a grayish, blackish, dark granite. And they're really nice. Like, they're nice. They're granite. They're not that old. But I just have this vision of a light, probably quartz is what I'm thinking we're going to go with, countertop. Especially after, you know, house hunting, like looking at 10 different homes here and seeing kitchens that I really loved. I'm like, well, that's what I want my kitchen to look like, you know? And you guys have been so helpful in this countertop process, giving me all your opinions, because I literally felt like my head was spinning after we went to like the warehouse with all the slabs the first day. I'm like, whoa. This is so overwhelming and so much to look at. You go down like the aisle of quartzite and look at so many different slabs of quartzite. And then you go down the aisle of granite, look at so many slabs of granite. Then you go down the marble aisles and you go down the quartz aisles. I'm like, oh my gosh, they're all starting to look the same. Like, what is going on? And I knew going into it, I'm like, I just hear through the grapevine, don't go with marble. You're going to regret it. I feel like anyone that I know that has it regrets it and is like, I hate it. Don't do it. So expensive, so hard to maintain, so easy to mess up, blah, 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 blah. And yes, you guys have all confirmed my suspicions with that. Everyone's like, do not do it unless you're really careful. Some like few people were like, honestly, I think it's worth the high maintenance. Like, they're so beautiful, but like, then you just have to be really careful. I assume we will have children here one day. Like, that's way down the line. But you know what I mean? Like, countertops are something that are going to be there for years and years and years to come. I'm like, I just want to make my life easy here and pick something that I think is beautiful, but also like low maintenance. So I'm like, you know, marble's out of the question for me. I was reading so much about it. So soft, it can scratch really easily, chip, dent, stain. Like, my friend that has a daughter's like baby, she's like, oh my gosh, I wish we never did the marble. You know, I have my water bottle there for 2 minutes and there's water stain, oil stains, pasta sauce, even like cleaners that you use, you have to be so careful. So I'm like, okay, now I'm doing it. Then I was kind of between quartz and quartzite, because those are like lighter than granite. Granite typically doesn't come too light, and I want a little bit lighter than the lightest like granite option. So between quartz and quartzite, a lot of you are saying you love your quartzite. If you didn't know, quartzite is like a natural stone and quartz is like the man-made one, to look kind of like quartzite. And the quartz also is, there were some pretty light quartzite options as well. So at first I thought I was leaning towards a quartzite because I'm like, wow, these look so like natural and beautiful. Love the idea of it. But then I was reading quartzite can be, I wouldn't say high maintenance, but also take some work more than quartz as well. You still have to get it sealed, can still stain, be careful, blah, 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 blah. And quartz to me just seems like the most low maintenance option. That's what I've had in my apartments for the past 6 years, you know, and I always think like the really nice apartments that I look at have the quartz countertops. I think they look beautiful, so low maintenance, don't need to get them sealed, not that easy to stain. I think the only thing with a man-made one they say to be careful with is if you take, I don't know, a cookie sheet that's like 450 degrees out of your oven and put it on the countertop, which I would never do anyway. I always put like on your range, like your gas, like stovetop range, or like your top of your oven, whatever you have. You know what I mean? So, yeah. Also, we actually didn't even get the pricing for the quartzite, but I'm sure it's more expensive than the quartz since it's, like, the natural one instead of the man-made one. And then some people were DMing me, like, no, I think quartz, like, looks kind of cheap, which I disagree with. It's definitely more affordable. At least I hear that. Again, I don't have the pricing for the quartzite. But I think it can look so nice. Like, we saw some beautiful new builds with quartz. So I think we're going to go with that. Sorry, I just talked about this for so long. But, yeah, if any of you are, like, in the countertop process, it's been so nice to hear all of your opinions. And I've just been in my learning journey with all of that. Interrupting super quick to tell you guys about Upside. Every year we all pledge to save more and spend less, but how are you supposed to save when you're paying inflated prices for everyday essentials like gas and groceries? You can't just cut those purchases out of your budget, but now thanks to Upside, you can get cash back from them. Their app is so easy to use, and I always use my cash back on coffee, currently a lot of home decor, etc. So to get started, download the free Upside app, then you'll claim an offer for whatever you're buying on Upside. You'll pay as usual with a credit or debit card, follow the steps in the app, and get paid. Upside users are earning hundreds of dollars a year, which is probably why they have a 4.8 star rating on the App Store. So download the free Upside app and use promo code HAPPYHOUR to get an extra 25 cents back for every gallon on your first tank of gas. That's an extra 25 cents back for every gallon on your first tank of gas using promo code HAPPYHOUR. Now let's get back into the episode. Personally, my update, if you're wondering how I'm doing, I've been so happy in all this time. Like, I just, when I take a second to sit down and I see the sunset in our beautiful neighborhood and I hear the birds chirp and feel the grass on my toes, I'm like, I am so at peace here. Like, we have such a peaceful, quiet spot and I love it. But I do have this inner struggle I've been feeling of just not enough hours in the day. You know, same old, but of, like, work life. Like, I feel like this is the time I want to be pumping out so much content on Instagram, YouTube, TikTok, because it's such an exciting time. I want to document the whole process. But in doing that, I feel like it's almost taking away from my social life, because if I'm, like, doing all of that, I feel like I'm not really present with, like, friends and family and stuff like that. I'm like, no, I gotta, like, go shoot content. But then I feel like we've been doing so good with our social life, so then I'm like, well, then what about, like, shooting content? And then I also feel like on top of that, I've been an interior decorator, and that's taking up so much of my mental headspace. So every day, I'm like, I want to crank out all my work. Like, I feel so inspired and motivated, but I also want to hang out with friends and family and just, like, do that and be present in the moment. Like, that's what matters. But I also want to, like, really curate my space and be an interior decorator. And I also want to feel really present and grounded in self-care mama who's, like, tanning outside and walking with my dog and fueling my body. And it just feels like there's not enough time in the day. You know, I just think I was, like, sharing my struggles in my head with Max. I'm like, I need to just wake up at 5 a.m. is what I'm deciding, and time batch everything into my day. I'm like, okay, we just need a balance. We need a little bit of everything every day. It's just hard when it feels like one of those things. Like right now, for example, trying to curate my space can just take up all of my time. Which brings me to, I did consider working with an interior designer, and I ultimately decided not to. I wanted to bring that up because I'm sure you guys are like, Gretchen, if you're like so stressed by this and are so like, so picky and specific about my space, seems like working with an interior designer would make a lot of sense. And I really thought I was going to, but hear me out. When we first moved to our place in Pennsylvania, I actually did work with an interior designer, and it was very helpful for little things like measurements of the couch. She's like, okay, this is gonna feel tight in here. Like, they just know, you know, they have so much experience. She's like, okay, with the dimensions of the room you're giving me, actually even never was with her in person, just online, she's like, this couch is gonna feel tight, but it will work as long as we do this. And okay, these chairs are gonna work, you want them, but they are gonna be really tight under your dining room table. And I'm like, whoa, didn't even think of that, to measure like floor to the top of the chair to make sure it literally fits under your table. Like, who knew? You know, like bar stool height with the bar height, and like just little things like that. Or like, okay, is there enough room at the end of your bed to walk between the dresser and the... So it was very helpful in that way. But I felt like the whole idea of them like sourcing things for your home, like I, like she would do that and I would be like, that's great and all, and I really love the things you picked out, but like these are the things I want, and I was like picking them out anyway. So I'm kind of like, I don't know if I need that this time around, because I know the pieces that I like and what I want where and like the vision that I want. And so I'm like, I really don't think I need interior design. Like, it would be nice to help with, like, again, like the logistics, like measurements of things or good ideas for like small spaces. But I'm like, I don't know. And I kind of started talking with one. It seemed really in depth. And like, you know, we go back and forth until we like really solidify the pieces we want for your place. And I'm like, yeah, but I already know what I want on my own. And I know how my kitchen to look. Like, I know, like, I'm very specific. So I'm like, I don't think I need to do that. I need to just take the time to source the pieces I want that I know are going to like fit and work. I know what I want my kitchen to look like. Like, I can do it. I just need to like be a grown up. So with that, perfect segue to the topic of this episode. So many minutes in. Sorry, we had so much to catch up on. If you've really been catching up on my vlogs, you're probably like, oh, Gretchen, I already know this. But hopefully I caught you up to speed if you were behind. I personally think that decorating should come to you over time. Who am I to speak? LOL. Because I try to just get it all done. Because I just want to feel settled. I want everyone to feel like... good. Everything's in its space. You know, like when you have a room that like the furniture isn't right yet, nothing's right, no art's hung up, it just feels like, well, like not done. So I do always try to like get that done as quick as I can. But with that, like decorating should come over time, because if you're just like buying out, I've always heard, you know, interior designers will say this, like if you just buy the entire bedroom set at West Elm in this moment or Crate and Barrel or Home Goods or Target, whatever it is, that looks great, like that looks like their current summer collection of their bedroom set, but that's not like curated specifically for your home and how you want it to be. And I personally take this with a grain of salt, because you may love yours and I do think it can be done right, like the matching nightstand with the matching bed frame, with the matching why can't I think of what it's called, dresser, credenza, mirror, like it all goes together, and I think it can look really nice, like matchy like that. But I think what's even better is if you have like some contrast and you don't have nightstands that perfectly match your bed frame, like you, it's like visually more appealing, I guess, to me, where they all like vibe and flow together, but it's not all exactly the same. So I think if you do it slowly over time, you feel drawn towards certain pieces, designs, etc. You can kind of like tap into that being like, oh, I really like this nightstand. Like, do I like the shape of it? Do I like the certain design? Is it very like mid-century modern? Is it very coastal? Ooh, maybe it's because it's like navy blue. Like I really like blues. Like I want blue in my house. Or like I really like the hardware. Like the hardware is speaking to me. You know, like I feel like you'll find yourself drawn towards things. You're like, I like this. And like I got to figure out why. And we can sort of like keep going with that theme, that idea. Again, easier said than done when you just want to be settled like I do. But I think it is so worth it to go slowly. And although everyone thinks I'm a nut job, I have kind of been slowly. Like I haven't been pushy about nightstands for the second bedroom, for example. Could I just ordered like ones on Wayfair or Amazon ASAP? But I was like, you know what? I'm just going to, I feel like ones are going to jump out to me, speak to me. It's all going to work out. Also, like I mentioned, over time is better for affordability, especially furniture is so expensive. No one tells you that when you're a kid. Oh my God. And decor too. Like it's all so expensive. And they just don't tell you that growing up. Like, you find out in college, like it slaps you in the face. You're like, okay, me and my college friends need a couch. Holy, you can't find a couch under like $1,000. Like, what is going on? It's just so expensive. Luckily, we had like most of our furniture moving from Pennsylvania. So that I was very blessed in the aspect that most of it like fit in here very well. Also in Pennsylvania, got so lucky on Facebook Marketplace with a lot of my finds. So I'll get into that, like my best tips for, you know, I was gonna say balling on a budget. It's not even balling on a budget, because it's like you can't even have a budget when home stuff is just so expensive. Like even Facebook Marketplace, furniture is still expensive. Like it's still like hundreds of thousands of dollars at the end of the day, you know, altogether. But yes, I also want to talk about curating a cozy home, the design of your space. I want you to think of your home as a sanctuary. If you're in this era of your life, this season, where maybe in your first home, your second home, you're in an apartment. Probably most of us like are young, my age, like all my friends are in their apartment. But this can all be applied to you. It's still your home, like your space. And I want you to think of it. This is how I think of it. It's like my sanctuary, a zen spa where you can fully unwind, unplug, relax. Now you're probably realizing to yourself why I'm so drawn to the neutrals, the simple, the cozy, the bright, because I feel like that's how my mind can relax. Like, I literally think of a spa and how at ease you feel there, and that's what I'm trying to replicate here. I feel like thinking of my home and space in this way has honestly changed my life. I know that sounds so dramatic, but to really like prioritize making my space feel clean, comfy, decluttered, that's a big thing. Like high quality, intentional, purposeful, like changes my mindset every day and is like motivating. Your mind feels clear. You can focus on other things because you're not distracted by clutter all around you and seeing things that you want to change, eyesores. And I just feel like people are, I know, like I am specifically, but I think everyone, if you really admit it, is really affected by your environment. So I think it's worth like the time, the effort, the energy, the money, even if you're not sure, to be, again, so intentional and purposeful in your space, because it's how, like, how you curate and live in your space is how you like live the rest of your life, kind of. I don't know if that made any sense, but that's how I think of it. Like, you know what I mean? Like how your mindset about it, how you go about it. And I'm also thinking that's probably why I've been so drawn towards, I think it's been called like organic, modern, just really clean, comfortable, neutrals, greenery, plants. It just feels like natural and nice. And I want everyone to feel like comfortable and cozy when they're in my space. So I feel like I have taken a lot of time and a lot of like intention in making my space something I'm comfortable in, something I think is inviting, other people will also feel comfortable in. Yeah. Another tip for interior design, curating my space, that's really helped optimize my life, make life easier, more convenient, is putting things in places that make sense to where you use them. I know that sounds simple, but I feel like I did not do this before in life in other apartments. Like I would have random things in random places that didn't make sense, wouldn't use them there just because they fit there. I'd throw it, forget about it, not take the time to really go through and organize, again, where things would make sense. So like, okay, for example, in the kitchen, working with small spaces. Okay, so like for the kitchen, I feel like I would just put things wherever. And then when I heard the tip of like, okay, put your oven mitts, I know this sounds simple and straightforward, but maybe it isn't to some of you because it definitely wasn't for me. Put the oven mitts in the drawer next to the oven because that's where you're using them. Put, like, this was like revolutionary in our last apartment when we moved our silverware here. Put the silverware right next to the dishwasher because that's where you're loading and unloading. I'm like, whoa, who would have thought? Put, you know, cups in the cupboard near the fridge because maybe that's where you're filling up your water. Like little things like that, like optimize your life. If you're working with a small space, for example, I was literally talking about this yesterday with Max's mom because our closets are small and have been a challenge. She's like, you know, one of the things that they say is easy to move out of your closet if you don't have room and can find a space for it somewhere else is shoes. Because think about it, like when you get ready, you get changed for the day, shoes are what you put on last as you're walking out the door. So if you need to move all your shoes to like the coat closet downstairs, you can, or to like cubbies down there, whatever it is, like getting creative in that way and kind of like settling into your space and how you use it makes sense for you, and just really like customize it to your needs, I guess. It can be so helpful. Also, there's just so many other hacks you can find online for small spaces. If you have like a small apartment, small home, I feel like, I wouldn't say our place is like very small, but I would say there's like smaller bedrooms, smaller closets, kind of all how it's all cut up is small. This is making me think of, for example, I had a friend in Boston in a small apartment, and this is a great example of kind of like optimizing her space and being like, okay, I'm gonna like put storage where I can put it here. And she actually had a dresser as her TV console. So I'm trying to think, did she have like her jeans and clothes in there? Probably. And it's like, okay, a dresser is not going to fit in your room. Okay. But can you put it, you know, as like a sideboard, as a console table, as a TV console under your TV? Because then there you go. There's putting storage somewhere else. Maybe you don't want your jeans in your living room if it's on like another floor. But if it's like your bedroom's next to your living room, maybe that works. So I think it's like getting creative in that way. And I think if you kind of go about it, like, I want to do this, honestly. I'm just thinking at the top of my head. But if you journal and like, or like write down a list of like, this is how I want to feel in my space. I want to feel really grounded. I want to feel really, but it could be different things for different people, right? Like maybe you have like a really stressful, busy job. Like you're like, I want to feel totally zen when I come home. Like, I can unwind, like, I can relax. I would say have a lot of, like, lamps, dim lighting, cozy blankets, stuff like that. But maybe you're like, no, I want it bright. I want it fun. I want to feel inspired. I want to feel happy. I work from home. I want, you know, it could be different things for different people. But I think if you go off of that, like, how you want to feel, how you want your guests to feel, intention, you can go off of that. Like, do you like bright colors? Like, yeah, your personality, your preferences. That's the word I was looking for. You can go off of that, and I think it'll really help make the vision of your place come to life and have you like have like a clear vision. Because I feel like I used to like walk into an empty apartment or space and I couldn't even envision where things would go. I'm like, oh my gosh, I need help with this. But also in this time, like, Pinterest and looking up inspo will be your best friend. It'll give you so many good ideas for storage, sitting areas, comfy situations, and also like feng shui. How are things flowing? Because you need a good flow. Because that really affects everything. And also, I think you'll get better at it with practice, knowing like, okay, we can't have the bed covering the window. We need enough space to walk around the bed. Like, little things like that really make all the difference. Is this a word? Hypocrite? I feel like such a hypocrite. I don't know. I feel like I'm faking telling you to look at Pinterest, because I literally don't know how to work Pinterest. I like never go on there. But I do look up like coastal kitchen inspiration. Serena and Lily kitchen, Serena and Lily bedroom. And that's just me in specific, because I'm trying to make this place very comfortable, organic, modern, mixed with coastal. Because I'm like, we're right by the water. We're on Cape Cod. This needs to be a little bit summer home beachy. So I'm like mixing in, you know, some woven things, rattan, maybe some blues, just some more subtle beachy things. Like, not a big sign that's like, take me to the beach. Like, nothing that I personally think is like a little bit cheesy. But I'm just trying to do coastal in like a tasteful way. Oh, but yeah, I was saying feng shui, flow of everything. I feel like I've gotten good at those type of things. Probably not great, but just with time and practice. Like, my first apartment postgrad, I think about, it was such a nightmare, you guys. I lived with my best friend, Taylor, and I remember measuring with my measuring tape in the living room. I'm like, oh my gosh, two couches will totally fit in here, and this TV console, it'll all fit perfectly. But when things fit just barely or perfectly, in reality, it doesn't work. It doesn't look right, for sure, because these couches were touching, you guys, and touching the TV console. You couldn't even open it. I'm like, what was I thinking? Like, this doesn't actually make sense in reality. So you need some wiggle room, some space for it to feel right. Like, if your couch just barely fits in your space, it might look too big. Like, you might want a little bit of a smaller option so you can, like, walk around it. It's more functional. You know, you got to think of, like, how functional it is for you in your space. Yeah, that was funny. That was definitely like a learning lesson. But yeah, enough room to like walk around furniture, walkways, hallways, things like that. And like, just again, having things where it makes sense. Like, maybe you have a console table by your front door with a bowl with your keys in it, because that's where you're going to come and go. A lamp to have the, you know, or maybe you have an ottoman, because that's where you're going to put on your sneakers before you walk your dog. Things like that really just helped. And it was like, it was making my life easier thinking of decorating in that way. And I also think, I was talking about, this kind of relates to thinking about envisioning like how you want to feel in your space. Think of this ideal version of yourself. Shout out Tori de Simone. I miss her. But she always would talk about the highest version of herself. So think of like the highest idealized version of you, like the best version of yourself. Where are they spending their time? What does it look like? What does it smell like? How do they feel? Go off of that. Because nowadays, there are so many dupes for decor and furniture that I feel like it's a lot more attainable. Like, maybe you're like, well, Gretchen, I see myself waking up in a place that looks like the Restoration Hardware store, but I can't do that. And I get it. I would make this whole place like Restoration Hardware if I could. All that stuff is so bulky and big furniture doesn't fit, okay? But there are so many dupes, and I feel like there's little tricks to make your place feel elevated and like high quality, like adding like window treatments, like curtains, yeah, whatever. Things like that can really like elevate a space. Wall art, decor, things like that can really elevate. So yes, this leads into my final segment, you guys, of my tips and hacks for furniture and decor. like I said, dupes. There are so, number one, dupes. There's so many dupes out there, especially on Wayfair. That's what I've been finding. Our bar stools I just got literally look like Serena and Lily. Like, Serena and Lily makes ones just like them. Like, Wayfair probably just copied, I'm assuming. And they're so much more affordable. They're just Wayfair versions of these bar stools, and you save hundreds of thousands of dollars. Also saw in there, they have, you know those, gosh, I need to look up how this is pronounced. Bucle, B-O-U-C-L-E, like that kind of Sherpa material. You know those CB2 chairs that are, like, very popular? They're really expensive. I actually want to look up how much they are, because I never even known, and I'm always just like, oh, they're probably so much. But what if the Wayfair ones, like, aren't that much cheaper, you know? Oh, no, they're expensive. The set of two is, like, $2,000. Wow, wow, wow. Okay, see? Perfect example. Wayfair, more affordable. Such a dupe. Looks just like them. I saw those on there the other day. I also remember decorating my Pennsylvania apartment. If I didn't find, which I'm going to get into, certain pieces at an outlet, I was going to order the dupes on Wayfair. They literally have dressers that look just like Restoration Hardware dressers, nightstands. I'm sure there's so many more. It goes on and on. And it can just make a certain look a lot more affordable, which we love that. And this is also making me realize, like, does Wayfair or Amazon, do they just, like, rip off these designers? Like, I don't know. Now I feel weird. Are they just, like, copying them? I don't know. But, like, if their designs are that expensive, then of course people are gonna, and, like, make more affordable versions that look similar. I don't know. Is that bad? Like, should I have bought the real Serena and Lily ones if, like, Wayfair is copying? I don't know. But they look so nice and feel, like, good quality and whatever. All I know is it's an option, okay? Dupes. Next up, Facebook Marketplace. Cannot stress this enough. Just take the time to hunt on Facebook Marketplace. You never know what you will find. I have not had very good luck for specific things I'm looking for here in Cape Cod, but boy, oh boy, I found the best things, you guys. When I moved to Pennsylvania, I found the best Restoration Hardware chairs at a fraction of the cost. My desk, which is the nicest desk, I'm obsessed with it. Also, Restoration Hardware at a fraction of the cost. You never know. Just search, like, you can look up expensive ones because you never know. It could be, like, a lot more affordable. Restoration Hardware, Crate and Barrel, West Elm. It's all on there, and people want to get rid of it for whatever reason. Maybe it doesn't fit in their space. Maybe it's not, like, their vibe anymore. They're moving, and so it'll just be so much more affordable. Sometimes it can be brand new things that, like, they ordered, doesn't fit in their space, and lucky you gets it at a fraction of the price. So don't sleep on Facebook Marketplace. You can find really good stuff on there. Also, I was thinking about how Wayfair, probably Amazon too, a lot, I mean, any furniture store where you can search by, like, dimensions of things, like, you can search dressers and be like, okay, width, maximum this much, minimum this much, height this much, because then you know it'll fit in your space perfectly. If you measure out and are like, okay, I need a dresser that's, like, this long, but it can't be taller than this because I have a piece of artwork, I have a TV on the wall, whatever it is, it's really helpful to look at, like, dimensions like that in that way and filter in that way, and then you know it'll fit perfect. So that's kind of been, like, a hack as well. I found a dresser that fits perfectly in our closet so that we have some drawers, and, like I said, we're gonna do the shelves. It'll be great. Next up, this I think people also sleep on, so be aware that this is, like, an option. You never know. If you're interested in these pieces, ask, like, maybe it's a home you're buying, apartment that you're, if you're taking over someone's lease, if you're whatever, if you're signing a new lease and there were people there before, you never know. Those people might want to get rid of those furniture, that furniture. They might not want to move it anyway. So you might as well ask, like, if you're interested in the pieces, be like, hey, are you bringing that couch with you? If you want to leave it behind, I'll give you $200. I'll whatever. And you never know. Sometimes people offer, they'll be like, you know, we don't want this anymore anyway. You can keep it. And that's something I wish I knew about the home buying process. I did find out, like, later on, but there are definitely certain things we could have been like, oh, you know, when we put in our offer, like, and with the offer, we also want all the Adirondack chairs you guys have outside. They probably would have been like, okay, whatever. So you never know, and I feel like you can save a lot of money, time, effort in doing that. Lastly, okay, my biggest tip, outlets. Say it with me. I found, like, all my furniture at the Restoration Hardware outlet at a fraction of the price. Didn't have to wait for, you know, 4 months for a piece to come in, and then you have to pay for the delivery and the shipping, and it takes so long. Outlets are where it's at. Also found a dresser that works so perfect in one of the guest rooms at the West Elm outlet, again, at a fraction of the price. And if I had ordered this dresser, it would have taken months to come. So I just feel like if you can find a Pottery Barn Outlet. I know that's a thing, right? West Elm Outlet, Restoration Hardware Outlet, Crate and Barrel Outlet, CBT. I'm thinking of, there's probably so many different furniture outlets, more than I'm just even saying. And you can find things at a fraction of the price. Usually it's like, you know, transport it yourself, take it home this day, and so then you have it right away. It can be a pain, especially, but also I think it's, like, worth the drive, you guys. I'll drive, like, an hour, hour and a half to go to an outlet. I think it's worth it. Even if you have to, like, run a U-Haul, whatever, you can, again, get furniture at a fraction of the price. Don't have to wait for months for it to get delivered. And, yeah, I think that's such a good hack for making your space really nice, filled with high-quality pieces in no time, since you can get the pieces way quicker and just create your cozy home. Bonus, I'm now getting creative, clearly, with my painting, my upholstering. But, like, if you're crafty and creative here, if you can also paint furniture. Like, if you have, like, maybe, like, a wood dresser that's not the vibe or with the color scheme, you could paint it a different color. You could stain the wood. You could upholster a couch, you could cover a table, you could DIY all sorts of things. You could also, like, get creative with reusing furniture in a different way. Like, if you don't like this certain stool, I don't know, you could have that as, like, a nightside table. Or if you have a small dresser, you can make that as a nightstand. I don't know. I just think you can be creative and just really take the time and effort to put together your space how you want, and it is so worth it in the long run. I don't want to blab on too long here. I want to be concise, and that's kind of, like, what's going on with decorating and interior design of my home currently, and my tips and advice for you guys. I hope this was interesting and helpful. And yeah, I guess that's all I got. I'm so happy I'm back recording. Feels like I just hung out with my friends for an hour. I love you guys so, so much. And I will catch you in my next episode. Bye.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. Like that car riding your tail. Or if you're tailgating right now, all those cars doubling as kitchens and living rooms are on AutoTrader too. Are you working out and listening to this ad at the same time? Well, multitasking pro, cars like the ones in the gym parking lot are for sale on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.